The school year is in full swing for students across the country, and for many kids, that means hours of homework after the final bell rings. These assignments can help reinforce lessons learned during the school day, but they can also start to feel overwhelming, and that's not just for children, but for their parents as well.
Hi, this is Clary calling from Palmer, Alaska. All of my kids, high school through their years in elementary, have had way too much homework. It's a huge stress on them and on our family. Homework takes time away from family time, after school activities, sports, sleep, and dare I say it, play. Kids aren't getting enough downtime, and that doesn't do anyone much good. And by the way, I'm a teacher.
And there are also other factors at play when it comes to the burden of homework. Rising income inequality and segregation also put big questions on what good homework is if a child isn't in a social setting that allows them to work successfully. Joining me now are Harris Cooper, professor of psychology and neuroscience at Duke University, and Matthias Dupka, a professor of economics at Northwestern University. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us on.
So, Harris, in your research, is there a connection between homework and classroom achievement?
Yes, there is. The relationship grows stronger as kids grow older. Homework also teaches children lots of other self or personal characteristics that are necessary for becoming lifelong learners.
What about younger students? Is there a connection between academic achievement and homework in elementary school?
There is. It's faint. And the reason why it's faint is because the things that we're trying to teach children when they're in the early and elementary grades, we're not going to be able to see huge changes in achievement because of homework assignments. Young children have limited attention spans, so we have to keep our assignments short, simple. They need to be successful because they're still developing their sense of self as a learner. But it's also the case that the elementary school, in elementary school, when you brought home those spelling words on Thursday night, if you did like when I was a child, and you studied them at home for a little while, not 2 hours for a seven-year-old, for a little while, you did better on the test when you took the test the next day or shortly thereafter than if you did not bring homework home.
Matthias, there's a burden of homework here, but it's not just on students. It's also falling on parents. We just heard at the top of the show. How much time do parents spend with their kids on homework in your research?
They now spend hours of time. And our research is really about examining how parenting has changed over time and also how it varies across countries. We do a lot of work trying to look at the situation in different countries to see how parents and also children respond to the environment that they live in. Increasing economic inequality seems to be a main driver of changes in parenting behavior. So we see that nowadays, most parents spend hours per week on helping their kids with homework. It's about 2 hours on average. It's many more for parents with high schoolers. It used to be only 20 minutes per week on average in the 70s. So there has also been a huge change over time in how much time parents devote to helping their kids with homework and also, of course, how much homework there is in the first place.
And Matthias, you just mentioned income inequality. I'm wondering if resources, basic resources, such as having a place to do your homework, your own room, having a parent who speaks English as a first language, having a parent who themselves is educated enough to be able to help you with homework. Do all those things also play into how successful or not homework is for children and parents?
I think that's a very important point because one concern we have about homework is that, just as you say, the ability to provide this help and the environment to do homework successfully can vary quite a bit across families. So if you look, for example, at the time used for helping kids with homework, this has risen the most for families that already have advantages, that have higher income, that have parents with high levels of education. There's a real concern that homework also serves to amplify existing inequalities in terms of outcomes for the children.
Harris, what are some of the best practices for homework? We've heard from a bunch of parents so far. How much should teachers be assigning?
Teachers have what I refer to as the craft knowledge rule. And if you look at homework policies online, you can Google them or search them however you'd like and put in homework amount homework policies amount. You'll find that most schools use a rule that we refer to as the 10-minute rule. It really is from teachers' craft knowledge in the first instance, but research suggests that it's not far out of line. And what it means is you take your child's grade and you multiply it by 10, and that's about how many minutes they ought to be bringing home each night. That shapes their behavior, because in the first grade, they're bringing home a little assignment, in the second, and so on. And it allows them to develop the skills for self-study that are so important as they grow older.
To that point, and what Matthias was just saying, is that there is an income inequality gap here when it comes to who's able to really optimize the homework experience for their kids. How do you respond to that, given what you're saying, the importance of homework? If the kid just doesn't have parents that speak English, parents that are educated, parents that are working all types of hours and just don't have the bandwidth to do the homework, or kids that just don't have a place to do it?
There absolutely is a difference. And you were very astute in suggesting sometimes it's not just economics, it's also the parents' time. So you can be coming from a very well-off family, but if both of your parents are professionals, they're not going to have the time to spend on homework with you. It's also the case that if you've got multiple brothers and sisters, parents are not going to have the time. So there are lots of different ways in which family configurations and family resources influence homework. And this is a responsibility that falls to the teachers. They have to know what kinds of families the homework is going home to.
Matthias, what does the data tell us about parental involvement in educational achievement? We talked a little bit about the inequality that exists in what parents can afford to do with their kids. But is this idea that parents, if they stay on top of their children and they're, you know, really cracking the whip, if you will, and making sure the kids are doing their homework and putting them in all these after-school achievement programs, is that child more likely to graduate high school or college?
So I should say it's difficult to know this for sure, because we can't just run experiments where we randomly assign different parenting styles. But in terms of the associations in the data does suggest that this is true, that more intensive parenting is associated with more success, at least in the ways in which we can measure success. So if we compare families that are otherwise similar, similar income levels, similar parental education, and we take those where the parents are more intense, have a more intense parenting style, we do see that the likelihood of, say, graduating from college or getting a higher education degree like an MA or PhD, that probability does go up. At the same time, that of course focuses on measurable success, so there's always a possibility that there's other things that are harder to measure that that might be less responsive to parenting.
Harris, are there other ways to approach homework? I'm wondering if some of what we're seeing in the United States is tied to the quote-unquote Common Core curriculum, where a lot of teachers are teaching to the test, and they feel that they have to produce numbers, really, and not focus so much on other types of learning. And that sort of rote memorization and rote test taking has sort of taken over. Is that what's driving a lot of this here? And are there other ways for teachers to imagine assignments that perhaps don't require sitting at a table and just sort of, you know, going down, like you said, the list of vocabulary words or the multiplication tables?
Yes, the issue is to mix it up. There are some things we learn because we practice them. And especially when it's young children, it's very important to mix it up. There are some skills that you learn by practice, and homework is a great place to practice. But if it was only practice, it's going to be drudgery, especially if it's lots of hours or minutes of doing spelling. The other thing that homework is really good for, and this requires creative teaching, is showing kids that the things they're learning in school have applications to things they enjoy doing and want to do at home. And that can be high interest reading. Doesn't have to be books that the teacher says, this is what you read. Kids can have choices. Teacher can say, yeah, you're ready to read that. and they can go home and read a book they really want to. Mathematics can be done in the context of sports or going with your parents to the grocery store so that kids see, and this is something that's very important for parents also, kids see and take part in activities that involve the skills they're learning in school. That can be good homework. One of the very first things that I enjoyed reading as a child was the back of a cereal box. And when I asked parents this question, the plurality of times, that's what they say. So why not a homework assignment that involves, why don't you read the back of your favorite cereal box and tomorrow come bring it to class and we'll talk about what it says. That can be a very effective homework assignment. Not only teaches kids about reading, they learn new words, but it also implies to them that reading can be fun.
Well, I almost want to do some homework right now. Harris Cooper is a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Duke University, and Matthias Dupka is a professor of economics at Northwestern. Thank you both.
Thank you. Mine goes on.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.